This is Upstate's HealthLink on Air. Linda Cohen here with you. The prevalence of blinding diseases such as age-related macular degeneration, glaucoma, and diabetic retinopathy have significantly increased in the United States over the last decade. And in response to the higher incidence of these retinal degenerative diseases, the National Eye Institute of the U.S. National Institutes of Health, the NIH, has recently undertaken the goal of regenerating neurons and neural connections in the eye and visual system. We'll hear with more on this. Our Dr. Michael Zuber, Associate Professor of Ophthalmology, Biochemistry, Molecular Biology, and Neuroscience and Physiology, and Dr. Reina Martinez de Luna. She's a postdoctoral associate in the Department of Ophthalmology, all from Upstate Medical University. Welcome to you both. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So this is a very ambitious goal, Dr. Zuber. I mean, what exactly is the National Eye Institute proposing?
So the Eye Institute is proposing actually finding ways to regenerate or replace dead or dying cells in the human retina.
So that's, they've actually raised the bar, in a sense, because to date, that's not really been able to be done.
It hasn't, but that's been in part because of the technology, and it's now possible to do things that we couldn't do even 10 years ago with respect to replacement therapies.
It's always been my understanding of late that the NIH has actually experienced a reduction in funding. So where is this? Where is the support for all of this coming from?
So the NEI, you're absolutely right. There is all seems continuously a reduction in funding for basic research, but the NEI has decided to focus on this issue, and so they're moving some of their money, more of their money, to focus particularly on this problem because it's a good time to start to attack it.
So I guess the question is, why has all of this increased? I think I know the answer to it, but why are we seeing the increase in macular degeneration, glaucoma, retinopathy, all of that?
So the reason that the NEI is now able to focus on this is because of advancements in stem cell biology and regenerative medicine. And I think, like I said, I think that's why they've decided, they've looked at the research that's going on now, and they look like there's a lot of promise in the field, particularly in these two areas, and so they're putting their funds into those.
But specifically,
areas.
Why have we seen an increase, Reina, why have we seen an increase in these kinds of problems?
That's right.
Does it have to do with the aging of our population?
Yes, it has to do with the baby boomers. So as the baby boomer population ages, so these diseases are increasing.
So people are living longer,
exactly.
And therefore these diseases are largely diseases of age?
That's correct.
Age-related?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so now they're basically, the government is saying, okay, we have so many more people suffering from these illnesses, it's an opportunity for us to actually try to get some solutions.
That is correct.
So tell us, what is regeneration and regenerative medicine?
So regeneration is the process by which lost or damaged structures are replaced and to actually be functional. Regenerative medicine is the branch of medicine that aims to replace damaged or lost structures in that way. So in diseases where there is damage to tissues or organs that are beyond repair, pretty much.
But this seems to be, and I think Dr. Zuber alluded to it, a renewed confidence, perhaps, in the fact that we can do more. Because for so many years, and in all the years I studied, you know, neurology in the way that I did, there was always the statement that nerve tissue can't be regenerated in humans, for one, or in mammals, per se. So what is changed there?
That's correct. I think it's the technology of stem cells that has been improved over the last 10 years significantly, I think, and new discoveries that we've actually had in the stem cell area.
Can you be more explicit with me, Dr. Zuber, when you say that? I mean, I know there's been talk about taking stem cells and kind of marking them to become something other, to grow up to be something else, and put it, there's this magical notion that you can kind of inject it in the body and tell it to go somewhere and it becomes, you know, nerve tissue or becomes heart tissue or.
Yeah, I mean, that's not the case. Actually, that's the problem, is because these stem cells are pluripotent. They can become anything. You first have to identify the mechanisms or the molecules that are necessary to push them towards the cell type you want. So for instance, if you wanted to, like we're interested in, if you want to heal the retina, there are essentially just 7 cell types in the retina, but there are hundreds and hundreds of different cell types that those stem cells can become. So we have to identify the genes to push them specifically to, for instance, a rod photoreceptor that is lost in retinal degeneration.
So is this something that really feels within your grasp? I don't mean necessarily your personal grasp, but within our grasp?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there are multiple labs working in a combination of different approaches and have successfully converted stem cells that we typically use in the research labs into retinal cells.
Wow. So this has actually been done.
Oh, yeah.
Is that in vitro kind of thing?
Yeah, primarily. There have been groups who have actually reprogrammed stem cells to form what look like in culture an eye-like structure.
Wow. That's pretty amazing. I mean, there's been talk, I know, in the past, and I'm so fascinated with all of this stem cell research about, you know, the image of being like what we would have said 1984, which we've long passed, but this idea of having like shelves of organs, you know, that we've created using stem cells to just pick and choose to replace parts in ailing or, you know, deteriorating bodies. But anyway, this is fascinating. So let's get a little more specific about what happens in the retina during these degenerative diseases. First of all, help us understand the retina a little bit, either of you. Go ahead if you'd like.
So the retina is composed of 7 cell types, like Dr. Zuber actually mentioned. And they are the cells that are the photoreceptors, which are the ones that actually sense the light. And then from the photoreceptors, the signal is converted into an electrical signal. So from light, it has to be converted into electricity that is actually then transmitted through the retina, through different cell types, and finally reaches what we call the ganglion cells, which are the cells that connect to the brain. And so then the message is sent through the ganglion cell axons to the actual visual systems, where the signal is actually interpreted into the image that you actually see.
Right. So what happens, Dr. Zuber, during these degenerative processes then? Where does it break down? In the ganglion cells, in the photoreceptor cells? Where's the problem?
It can actually break down anywhere. There are different types of degeneration. So there, RP, or retinitis pigmentosa, what initially happens is the rod photoreceptors, which are required for your night vision, die, essentially. And it's not really understood, but after the rods die, the cones die, which are the other photoreceptors that are for your color vision, and then there's subsequent changes in the retina. Raina mentioned that there are 7 different cell types in the retina. In fact, if you lose probably any one of those cell types, you will eventually be blind because there'll be a progressive degeneration of the other cell types dying as well.
Is this an unavoidable aspect of aging, or because we talked about this as an age-related thing, or is it just something that happens alongside of aging in some people?
Well, I think it is an age-related thing. It isn't necessarily always the case. There are some diseases that are early onset, is what they're called. But like Raina was saying at the beginning, our aging population, this is now becoming more of a problem because we have an older population.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Upstate's HealthLink on Air. I'm Linda Cohen here with Dr. Michael Zuber and Dr. Raina Martinez de Luna, and we're talking about regenerating human retinas, which really sounds sci-fi, but incredible. So bottom line, what have you found? There's been research that has suggested that we know that it happens in vertebrates, meaning in non-mammals, that they can regenerate eye tissue. Tell us a little bit about that.
So it appears that during evolution, species lost the ability to regenerate retina, and that's because mammals, for the most part, can't regenerate retina. Things like amphibians, frogs, toads, they can regenerate retina and the entire retina. Fish can regenerate retina. Chickens can kind of regenerate retina. They can regenerate about 4 of the 7 cells.
Wow.
So it appears that during evolution, that ability to regenerate retina was lost.
So that's very interesting. So the point is, there may be a way of turning that back on. Is that the idea?
Exactly right. That's the hope. And that's why many labs like our own actually work on these model systems, because they can do what we can't do. And if we can understand how they regenerate the retina, we might be able to reactivate that regeneration capacity in the human retina.
So beyond the notion of using stem cells, is this a separate way of approaching it? Yeah, so help us understand that. Go ahead.
So that's correct. So for regeneration to actually achieve that goal, there are 2 possible sources of that we can stimulate to get those cells. One of them is in vitro or outside the body, driving stem cells to the specific cells that we need to generate.
So in other words, one source of fixing the problem, in layman's terms, would be to use stem cells, finding out how to give them the right signal to become the right type of cell. That's one way. And this other way?
And the other way would be to try to stimulate regeneration within the own retina of the same patient that's actually damaged.
And that would be by learning how the vertebrates do it, or the amphibians do it, or the non-mammals do it.
That's correct. So the retina in other vertebrates other than mammals is very similar structure-wise, organization-wise to the human. So we try to, if we understand the mechanisms that drive that regeneration in those vertebrates, then we can go back to the human retina, which is extremely similar, and try to activate the same mechanisms to see if we can actually,
make it happen. So that's very exciting. So where are you at in this process? I mean, are we close to understanding how a frog can regenerate their retina?
We're closer, I'd say. So what's interesting is fish and frogs, they both can regenerate retina, but they regenerate retina from different sources. The frogs regenerate from a tissue called retinal pigment epithelium, and fish regenerate it for cells that are already in the middle of the retina, the Müller glia cells. So using these model systems, people are trying to figure out why or how they can do it, and then reactivate those systems in retina. And there's been, in mouse recent work, where one gene, ASCL1, was reactivated in the mouse retina and actually did give rise to some new retinal cells within the mouse retina, something that had never been done before.
And that's been recently accomplished.
Yes.
And that leads you to believe that perhaps a gene could be identified in the human and the mammal?
Potentially. It's very likely it's going to be a much more complex problem than the loss of just a single gene that blocks the regeneration in mammals. But I think people are well on the way to discovering what the combination of genes might be for that.
So you've mentioned that a lot of labs are working at this. Are they working collaboratively? Are you working in conjunction with other laboratories? And tell us a little bit of time we have left about your research.
So we particularly are taking two approaches. We're using Xenopus because it can regenerate.
Using
Xenopus laevis. It's a frog.
Okay. Sorry, I didn't know.
African clawed frog.
I was going to say I'm not intimate with frogs, so I didn't know the term.
And so what we're doing is we're studying the degeneration in the frog retina, and then we have a way that we've developed that we can initiate that retinal degeneration, and then reverse it. And so we have the ability to let the frog continue and go through this retinal degeneration, and eventually they lose their sight. But if we stop that degeneration early enough, they will regenerate their retinas and functional vision. So we're trying to figure out what exactly is happening between that time when they can and they can't regenerate the retina. And those are obvious targets that we might want to look at as far as what we have to stop from happening in the degenerating retina to allow regeneration to take place.
So would that mean in some ways, so they're both things that would have to happen. You'd have to understand what's basically the process of the degeneration
exactly. In
order to also understand the regeneration. But then how do you envision, in a very little bit of time, this that it's applicable to humans?
It's applicable to humans just like we spoke about before, is that we think that once we identify the molecular mechanisms that are required for that regeneration, then that's what we'll have to try to look at specifically in the human retina. Are those systems missing, or have they been shut off? And can we turn them back on to get the retina to regenerate as one possibility, or to convert stem cells into the appropriate cell types?
It's very exciting. Very exciting research. Really is. It's like giving light to the blind. So it's amazing. I want to thank you so much for coming in. My guests have been Dr. Michael Zuber. He's Associate Professor of Ophthalmology, Biochemistry, Molecular Biology, Neuroscience, and Physiology, and Dr. Reina Martinez de Luna, Postdoctoral Associate in the Department of Ophthalmology at Upstate Medical University. Thank you both for coming in.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
I'm Linda Cohen, and you're listening to Upstate's HealthLink on Air.